The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Nice to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In.
You have always been a voice of reason through all of this.
Appreciate your time, what you're doing for America.
I give you advice, and it doesn't work at all.
You are definitely not inept by any means.
I like to hear women say that about me.
Whatever advice you're going to send my way, I am 100% taking it.
I can't tell you what to do. I will not tell you what to do.
Okay. Well, thanks.
That wasn't the answer I wanted.
Are you kidding me?
Great stuff, Dr. Ray. I'm glad I called.
I've scheduled my day around listening to your radio show.
Don't have to laugh so hard.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Doing the show with my eyes closed. Not taking any advantage of my teleprompter. Yeah, actually, what happens is, you know how these anchor people, all they do is, first of all, they got to look good and they got to read good. And that's pretty much it. They don't necessarily have to be sharp in what they're talking about. They read a teleprompter. Now, I've got somebody behind the scenes with a teleprompter telling me what to say. I've finally been discovered. That's it. Take the teleprompter away. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Take it away. Take it away. I can do this. I don't need a teleprompter. Go ahead. Gone? Okay, good. You're here. Good. I'm here too. And you can call if you want. If you do want to, bring it back, please. Just bring it back. Okay, it's Dr. Ray Grindy. The program, The Doctor Is In, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. As you would know that, if you are on Eastern Time, the number to get onto the program is 877-573. Bring the prompter back. I don't know those last four digits. 7825. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal to make it easy. If you'd like to call in, situation in your life, circumstance, somebody, something, want to talk about, just run by me. Obviously, this isn't therapy. We're not going to sit here and unpack and unravel and explore and expose all the motives and the connections of the dots and all the emotional ramifications. We can't do that. But we can educate, give a thought or two, something that might be useful to head you in a direction that would be good for you. Who am I to decide what's a good direction for you? But if you decide it on the basis of something I say, then we have a cooperative effort. 877-573-7825. Got a great program on EWTN Radio. Call to Communion, Dr. David Anders. Good guy. Weekday afternoons, 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Right after me. Yeah, that's right. And you know what I feel like? I feel like I'm Wheel of Fortune bumped up against Jeopardy. Feel like I'm going from kindergarten to my PhD. In 1 hour, David is one bright guy. 2 o'clock, right after this program, and he's encores on the evening. Encores? Encores. I just saw E-N-C-O-R. See what happens when I don't have a teleprompter? Encores at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. That's in the evening on EWTN Radio. What is stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Anders has some great answers. Weekday afternoons, 2 o'clock Eastern, encores evening. And also, as I didn't know this, David Anders, you can see him, that's right, as he takes on calls from non-Catholics and fallen away Catholics. Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern on EWTN TV. That is cool. David's one bright guy, and he is a very personable, pleasant man. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. I would love to hear from you. People ask me, when your kids were little, what was most frustrating? Was it the temper fits? You know that's coming from little kids, and you got to deal with it. What about the bedtime bad times? Yeah, there were some of those, but we took care of that. We generally had a pretty smooth bedtime because the kids knew you don't resist or there would be consequences. So that wasn't too much of a bit of a trouble. Sibling quibbling? Yeah, that was hard to figure out who did what to whom, when, where, and how much, but we had a security camera put in. Well, we didn't have it put in until about 7 years after we moved into the house, which is a 7-year-old daughter. Yeah, she pretty much reported everything. So for the most part, all that little kid stuff was just, it was a little frustrating, but nothing big. I think for me, the biggest frustration was little kid jokes. Now, little kids want to tell you their jokes. And they're, by the way, little kid jokes are a notch below dad jokes. They are. Dad jokes every once in a while can be funny. Like, for example, if I say, somebody broke into my house last night and stole my limbo trophy. How low can you go? All right, that's okay, because that's a chuckle. But little kid jokes, there are certain rules in navigating through a little kid joke. Dad. What, Andrew? I got a joke. Okay, go ahead, son. Okay. Now, you don't interrupt the laugh. If they're gonna laugh before the joke, because they know it's coming and they think it is uproariously funny. And if you say anything like, okay, so Andrew, what's your joke? What's your joke, son? That's not going to work. That's just not going to work. You got to wait till they're done laughing, which could take anywhere between 10 seconds and close to their wedding rehearsal dinner. So when they're done laughing, they start. What do you call... See, when they start to tell the joke, it reminds them it's funny. And they're preparing you because as they laugh, you're supposed to know the fun is coming. That's the cue. You pay attention to that. I know. I went through 10. Sorry about that. I get my numbers mixed up. 10 kids with little kid jokes. The boys were the worst. The girls, generally being more verbal, just told you the joke. And then you laughed and they were happy. Not the boys. No. Don't forget, these are guys who say, pull my finger. So you got to understand the maturity level lingers. What do you call a fish in the ocean? Now, the worst thing to do is to say, what do you call? Repeat. If you repeat what they said, they start over. Okay, Andrew, what do you call? What are you saying, son? Okay, what? And now remember, they have to repeat several words at the beginning several times. Just to make sure you're getting the oomph from the joke. What do you call a fish in the ocean with two legs? Now, it is obligatory as a parent, as a loving, communicative parent, to repeat the joke. I don't know. What do you call a fish in the ocean with two legs? Then the laughing starts again because you laugh the hardest before the punchline. There is a preliminary laugh before the joke, but the heavy laughter comes before the punchline, and that can go on a while. And for heaven's sakes, do not say, Andrew, go ahead, son, finish the joke. Oh, no. Bad move. Just sit quietly. Now, by this time, when the joke started, it was about, on a Saturday, about 9:15 a.m. The end of the joke was approaching 10 till 10. I'm sitting. Because, you know, you read all these books that says you got to communicate with your children. So I just kind of communicating, reflecting, doing the kind of stuff. I don't know, Andrew. What do you call a fish in the ocean that has two legs? A two-knee fish. And that's it. Now, sometimes the kids laugh and run away, which is what you want. You want them to laugh and run away because you don't want them to see that you're not breaking up like they are. Got to watch their self-image, you know, joke self-image. Sometimes they stay there and they wait to make sure you're going to laugh appropriately. I don't know what the length of an appropriate laugh is for a little kid joke. For the boys, it's longer. For the girls, it's shorter. But it's somewhere between. A satisfactory, responsive laugh is somewhere between 8 seconds and 12 minutes. Before I close, the absolute worst little kid jokes are knock-knock jokes. Because they make them up. Knock, knock. Yeah. No, you're supposed to say who's there. Oh, okay. Who's there? Open. Open who? Open the door, it's me. And then they just bust up. Because they're comedy writers. They think they can do this. They think their stuff would basically put together a sitcom. So little kid jokes. Now, the last time I said this particular monologue some years ago, and somebody wrote me and said, it's important to listen to little kids and not tune them out. And I was tempted to write back and say, I know, I'm just having fun with little kid jokes. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. I'd love to hear from you. You can tell me a little kid joke if you want. This is Dr. Ray.
EWTN Radio is seeking a dynamic radio producer to join the EWTN Radio team in Irondale, Alabama. The right candidate will be a passionate, multi-skilled, talented professional who can manage and direct all aspects of producing world-class programming and play an integral part in Mother Angelica's mission. If this is you or someone you know, email a resume and cover letter, including salary requirements, to humanresources@ewtn.com.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart friendly, ride your bike everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at avemaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Got room for callers. Sometimes they pour in rapidly and sometimes they trickle in. You never know. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Want to hear from you. New report out as of March 20. Less than half of Americans are very satisfied with their personal life, according to a new Gallup survey. The survey results said, survey says, in 2024, 47% of Americans said they were very satisfied, quote, very satisfied, unquote, with their personal lives. Now, that's down from 50% last year and 65% in 2020. Now, I can't prove this, but I think it's a reasonable speculation. 2020 was the year before COVID. The societal, the emotional, the familial damage done by the crisis COVID response, doing what it did to our culture, our community, our religion, I think it was devastating. So you got 65 down to 47. That is a plummet. That's a major plummet. Now, just FYI, the real low, the record low, was back in 2011 when 46% of Americans stated they were happy with their lives. The survey began in 1979. Now, what was 2011? Well, that was right around coming out of that that big recession that we had. In this year's survey, 31% said we're somewhat satisfied. Okay, so 47 very satisfied, 31 somewhat. 11% somewhat dissatisfied, 9% very dissatisfied. What is to make of this? I think there's several things. Satisfied is a very squishy term. How do you operationally define satisfied? What does satisfied mean? Somebody might be satisfied with a lot less contentment, and say, yes, I'm very satisfied. Other people who may want much more out of life and are not getting it, and they think they should be getting it, could say, no, I'm not satisfied. So that's just a broad word. I don't know how much definition you can really attach to it. Now, there's been a decline in religion. That's clear. If you look at the trends, they're just going down, down, down. The least religious, of course, are those under 30. Roughly half are saying they got no religion at all. None, zero, zip, nada. So would you expect a parallel decline in life satisfaction as religion goes down? A lot of studies, a lot of surveys have shown that religion makes people happier. It's not this suffocating, stultifying, oh no, I can't do a lot of fun things that my non-believing friends do or my ignoring religion friends do. Oh, what a terrible life I'm living because it's so constricted. No, in fact, the opposite takes place. So religious people as a group are more satisfied with their lives. Now, this is interesting. The combined 78% of adults who are now satisfied, very or somewhat, is well below the average, which has been 84% since 1979, and is the lowest in the last 13 years. Interestingly enough, now here's where it comes in, what we just said. The highest recorded portion of people who said they were satisfied, either somewhat or very, occurred in January 2020, just before the COVID pandemic hit. Now, it's interesting the way they put this. They blame COVID. Was it COVID? Was it the response to COVID? The report, low points, this was their conclusion, in personal satisfaction with life tended to coincide with times of, quote, economic uncertainty. At one level, I can understand some of that. But as a psychologist, many people who come to my office have struggles with things a lot more than economic uncertainty. Marriages, kids, adult kids, relationships, struggles with anxiety, depression, emotional issues, emotional, behavioral, social issues. They do oftentimes bring up finances as a frustration. But for the most part, this what they're saying in this survey is that dissatisfaction rises and falls with how economically certain you are. There's an interesting thing as I look back at this. My parents were solidly middle class. My dad Worked in a factory for 43 years. Last 13 years before he retired, he didn't miss a day of work. That was Pop. That was his generation. My parents had one car. We lived in a ranch. It was probably about 1,300 square feet. They don't even build them that small anymore. We had no air conditioning. The air conditioning we finally got when we added on a family room, and we had a box air conditioner in the family room. I was 19, 20 years old, somewhere in there. My mom worked as an accountant helper for her brothers who were accountants. We weren't poor by any stretch. We were very solidly middle class. We didn't lack anything. Average middle class now lives in a, well, 3-4-bedroom house, whole house air conditioning, multiple cars. We had one television. It was a 20-incher, 22-incher, something like that. They don't sell 22-inch televisions anymore. Phone bill. I remember our phone bill. Now, again, this was in those dollars, but the phone bill was a couple bucks a month, $3, $4 a month. One line. That was it. That was our phone. I would bet that if you went back, this was before 1979, and you surveyed Americans at that time, you'd have higher levels of personal satisfaction, even though their material comforts were much lower than what we have now. Dissatisfaction is measured by the difference between what you want and what is. That's typically the biggest gauge of someone's dissatisfaction. Now, who was it? G.K. Chesterton said at one point that Americans are too smart. And he said this way back in the 20s, that Americans are just too smart to be fooled by advertising, to be compelled into wanting more and more stuff, and being shown that they're not able to get that stuff is going to make them very discontent or less content than past years. I think this is one of the rare times Chesterton was wrong. That in fact, with the deluge of you should have this, you should do this, you should get this, this is available, why don't you have it, creates a sense of I'm being shortchanged. Life is not treating me right. I deserve more. Nothing wrong with living comfortably, of course. The question is, how dissatisfied do you get if you don't live at the comfort level that you want? And your car's 9 years old. Does that bother you? How much? You look at someone you know in your family and they just bought a 2024 $62,000 SUV. You're thinking to yourself, man, oh man, what I wouldn't get one of those. How much does that bug you? It's basically a, it's, if it bugs you a lot, it's one of the cardinal sins, you know, envy, perhaps greed. So I always am fascinated by these studies that measure personal satisfaction. Let me see what else. Okay, here's who Gallup said were the quote-unquote happier people. Those with an annual income of 100 grand a year or more. Marrieds. Religious. College grads. And those older than 55. Now, I think that cuts across. It cuts across all of those particular characteristics. Uh-oh, I got to take a break. 877-573-7825. Definitely want to hear from you. The phones are quiet, so if you'd like to get in, give a call. We'll speed you right to the front. This is Dr. Ray.
How can we be sure our conscience is guiding us rightly? The Catholic Catechism states that in order to make correct moral judgments, we must have a well-formed conscience, one that is upright, truthful, and formulates its judgments according to reason and conforms them to the true good willed by the wisdom of the Creator. In order to avoid the trap of negative influences and the desire to prefer our own judgments, we must educate our conscience. The Catechism asserts that prudent education teaches virtue and guarantees freedom and engenders peace of heart. What are the ingredients of this educational stew? The Word of God, which we absorb through faith and prayer and an examination of conscience before the Lord's cross. Though our modern world sometimes makes discernment difficult, a well-formed conscience helps us see what is right and choose what is the will of God as expressed in divine law. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's extremely, I think, hypocritical. It's awful. It's so frustrating to hear these big companies saying they are so proud to pay for abortions for the employees, even pay for transportation, pay for the abortions, up to $10,000 some companies are willing to spend to send their employees to get an abortion in states that would still allow it, such as New York and California, and of course right now with all the shenanigans going on in Michigan. But what about health care? What about what about maternity care for moms? What about backing moms in other ways in the workforce as opposed to pitting them against their children? I mean, think about how sexist that is and how undignified that is to say to a woman, you can go get your abortion and then you can come back to work in a day or two. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. The number 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. I've been getting updated on the numbers from St. Louis, Covenant Network area, where we will be taping Living Right with Dr. Ray very shortly here, about a week and a half, April 16 and 17. The program airs, well, we're taping it, but the tape dates, I think, are 5:30 and 7:30. If you'd like to come, because the program is done before a live audience. I remember back when I approached EWTN 14 years ago, I said, boy, I'd like to do a program. Here's the idea for the program. And for me, because I public speak much of my career, I said, I'd sure like an audience. He said, sure. They were very, very agreeable to that. So the audience makes the program. And the numbers are very encouraging there in St. Louis. But if you would like to get onto one or more of the programs, you simply go to ourcatholicradio.org/Dr. Ray. It'll pop up. You can register for whatever program you want. They air, I think, 5:30 and 7:30 both nights. Got some great guests. And by the way, we are hoping to have some segments with Dr. Peter Kraft. Now, he won't be there personally, but we plan to record very shortly here with Dr. Kraft, who is one of my heroes of the faith. So, love to have you there. Okay, we'll get to your calls here in a second. We play trivia on Wednesday night. It's my wife, myself, my godson, his mother, his cousin, and a friend of mine, or six of us who play trivia. Love trivia. But I realized trivia tells me something. I had checked out of TV, music, and movies probably 30, 35 years ago for a lot of reasons. And one of the things, too, I've noticed is that, when they have questions about math or physics or science or the periodic table or elements or history or government, this is stuff I all had in school long ago. So to draw up that memory, they give you 2 minutes to answer a question. At my age, I need approximately 48 minutes to dredge up the answer. I'll get to these calls in a second. I just want to finish my trivia story. There was a guy there. Now, most of the teams there are between 6 and 8 people. It's an average size of a team. Few teams have 10. There's a guy sitting in a booth across from us by himself. He won the first game with a perfect score. Perfect scores are very tough to get. He's sitting there by himself. And, of course, people are automatically thinking he's got to be cheating. He's got to be, you know, you got your phone in your hand, you type in your answer, but who knows if you're not searching for the answer. So there he is. He's typing it in, and he won. The next game, he was up at the top again. Now, one guy up at the top beating out teams of 6-8 people would immediately arouse suspicion. The person who manages and is the monitor for the TB or the trivia questions said, no, he's clean. He's totally clean. Later on, I went up to him after the games. I said, boy, that's amazing that one guy could get a perfect score and in the second game be right at the top before he missed the final question. He said, you know who that guy is? I said, no. He has taught academic challenge for years. He said he is so smart about so many things. And he said, I know he's not cheating because every time the question came up, within 10 seconds, he put his answer in. So I felt pretty cognitively beat up watching this guy, he looked like he's in his 30s, essentially pound all of us until I found out. I think he should give us a handicap. Let's go to Patricia from Georgia. Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
What's going on with you?
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
From here? Can I do it from here?
Sure. Your words can do it. Mm. I was married for 45 years, and about 3 years ago, I became Catholic. And my husband told me he would divorce me, and he did.
If you became Catholic, you're out of here.
Right. Ooh. So we were Reformed Presbyterian at the time. I didn't realize how anti-Catholic that church is, but it is. But in the meantime, what he wanted to do, and I did it because I was devastated, we used the same attorney. And basically, my husband wrote up the terms of the divorce. We were in a very small town at the time in Georgia. And the lawyer who did the paperwork, filed it, and I had signed off. And then my daughter, who's an attorney, said, Mom, what the heck did you do? And she told me to call the judge, but the judge was actually this lawyer's brother. So I'm stuck with a settlement, which almost has me at the poverty level. But anyway, the problem is that I'll remember things that he did. One of the things that happened was we have a daughter with severe autism, and she did not handle the divorce. She did not handle the fact that she was living with me in a different house. And by the way, he remarried 2 months afterwards. And
wait a minute. Stop right there, yep. Patricia. Stop right there.
I know.
Do you notice a bit of a connection between him saying, if you become Catholic, I'm out of here. Oh, by the way, I just happened to have somebody 2 months later that I married.
Yeah, God showed me, and I won't go into it, but within 3 months, he showed me, oh my gosh, this man has never been faithful to you.
So it wasn't you becoming Catholic, was it?
Exactly, it was not. But what happened that was really distressing to me was this daughter of mine, because she became, without her dad, with a new home, she was good for a while, maybe 6-7 months, and then she became extremely violent. She was so angry, I ended up for a few weeks having to lock myself in my bedroom, only coming out and giving her food. But to just cut to the chase, I lost her, and she is placed in a host home in Savannah. And the decision was made by me and the provider. It was better that I didn't see her because...
Wait a minute. You're losing me here. She living in your house? She's an adult person living in your house and you're scared of her?
No, she was. And so Then, because
she was what?
Violent,
she was what, dear?
She was living in my house.
Okay. And she got, how old was she?
She was 40.
Living in your house 40, and she got really nasty with you to the point of violence.
Well, she's severely autistic.
Okay, so there are developmental issues. I gotcha.
Yes, there are. And she had very scattered skills.
So how does this relate? How does this relate, dear? We're going to get cut off by the heartbreak, and you stay there.
That's okay.
I'll catch you on the other side. You think about how this relates to your husband after 45 years saying, "I'm gone." Stay right there. This is Dr. Ray. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Thank you for joining me.
Hello and welcome to The Crux of the Matter. I'm Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy. The precepts of the Church, as defined by the Catechism of the Catholic Church, are those positive laws or commandments made by church authorities to guarantee for the faithful the indispensable minimum in prayer and moral effort for the sake of their growth in love of God and love of neighbor. Simply put, friends, since Holy Mother Church possesses a genuine care for her children and their spiritual growth, she sees to it that through legitimate church authority, certain minimum requirements are to be met so as to help ensure one's personal growth in love of God, neighbor, and the spiritual life. The Catechism of the Catholic Church lists the formal precepts for the Catholic Church's members. They are, you shall attend Mass on Sundays and on holy days of obligation, and rest from servile labor. You shall confess your sins at least once a year. You shall receive the sacrament of the Eucharist at least during the Easter season. The fourth precept is, you shall observe the days of fasting and abstinence established by the Church. And the last precept is, you shall help to provide for the needs of the Church. Rather than look upon the five precepts of the Church as some rigorous code we are oppressively bound to follow under pain of sin, we should instead identify them for what they really are. Guides given to us by Holy Mother Church, just as any good parent would guide their children, to ensure our advancement in a life of prayer and moral virtue and growth in love of both God and neighbor. As Catholics, then, we should rejoice that our faith gives us simple, direct, and concrete guides, precepts which function as sure norms to aid us as members of the body of Christ, to become holy and live our lives as God intends them to be lived. And that's the crux of the matter. I'm Father Wade Menezes. God bless you.
I'm talking to Patricia from Georgia. Initially, her husband of 45 years who divorced her said, "It's because you became Catholic. That's it." And then Patricia found out, as more evidence trickled in, that was the putative rationale that he gave her, when in fact, not only was he remarried within 2 months after the divorce, but that she found out he had been particularly unfaithful throughout the marriage. Patricia, still there, dear?
I am.
It would seem to me that what's bugging you about this is you're mad because you sort of were taken advantage of.
Definitely. And hurt because I had to lose my autistic daughter to host home.
Well, you think that the presence of your husband there kept your autistic daughter from erupting and being violent?
Yes. Because she hadn't behaved that way before. And we both took care of her. We had some help, too, because she qualified for Medicaid, which gave her a waiver in Georgia for having 24-hour care.
How long are you going to stay angry?
Yeah, she lived across the porch from us in a man cave, quote unquote.
How long are you going to stay angry?
I'm sorry?
How long do you want to stay angry?
I don't. That's why I'm calling you.
Well, first of all, that's more than anything I could give you, what you just said. You said, "I don't want to stay angry."
I don't.
Very good. See, I think what you're saying underneath the I don't want to stay angry is I can't help the way I feel. I don't want to feel this way. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
All right. Your feeling will change as your thinking changes. If you say, I've been so ever blessed to become Catholic, and I found out, rather unfortunately, that this guy that I thought was a committed husband was not. And furthermore, the fact that he ran off and is going to do what he wants to do with the rest of his life had repercussions, it had complications. And it involved me not having my 40-year-old autistic daughter live with me anymore. A couple of things. One, you get down on your knees and you thank God that you're Catholic. He gave you that wisdom or that grace to say, let me look into this. And you did. You were faithful that way. Two, for what it's worth, Patricia, my experience, and this is one of the great advantages I have of getting old, I have seen spouses leave a marriage through their dissatisfaction, through their unfaithfulness, through their immaturity, whatever it is. Almost always, the spouse who leaves ends up being more miserable than the spouse they hurt. Now, that may not give you any satisfaction, but it is a reality that your husband, and I'm going to assume he's in his 60s at least, right?
He is 76.
76! He's decided, okay, I'm just going to redirect my life and have a good time and party with this other chick. Okay, he can do that, but I don't know how many more years he thinks he's going to be around. And given that, it sounds like he's pretty much ignoring the moral issue. He's just decided, I can leave my wife. Commitment doesn't mean anything, and I can find somebody else. Okay. I don't know how God's going to deal with him. I have no idea. But it's a move that certainly you didn't make. So you've been faithful. And that's great, great satisfaction on your part. Part about your daughter, you do everything you can to visit her, take her out, do all kinds of things with her. I had that with my daughter. We couldn't have our daughter live with us anymore. We had to find group homes for her. And and we knew that, and we just knew that was the reality. And here's the other thing, dear. You don't know this, and this is part of me knocking some sense into you.
Uh-huh.
It may be that your daughter would have done this anyway. You don't know. You think it's because
that's
he left.
True.
That's true. She's getting older. Who knows what her brain is doing? Not unusual that there can be neurological complications. And that kind of behavior may not be related to your husband not being around. It may just be related. She's 40 years old and some things are going on in her head. You don't know that. Only God knows that.
Okay.
So in a way,
I have one more comment to make.
Go ahead, dear.
And that is, I should tell you how I became Catholic.
Well, if it can be quick, because I have to go to...
I am listening to Jerry and Debbie.
Wait a minute. Yo, whoa, ho. Hey, no, you got to say listening to Dr. Ray.
Well, you were next. But I was driving back home, and I could not get any other radio station but EW Channel. And almost within, I don't know, it's less than a minute, I heard, this is the truth, Mary's your mother. And do you remember the Bible verse you took as life verse 7 years ago, John 2:5, do whatever I tell you. This is what I'm telling you. So no one could argue with me. None of the interventions worked because I just heard this from God and I knew it. So I do thank God for EWTN.
Well, the nuns told us when I was back at St. Anthony's that if you are somehow instrumental in somebody coming to the faith, that is a tremendous benefit. And I was waiting. I was waiting for you to say, Dr. Ray, it was when you said on March 3rd,
2022, what you said, it just moved me. But you didn't say that. After all I said to you, Patricia, to knock some sense into you, that is what I get in return. My
hey,
dear.
If I'd waited a little bit more, it would have been you.
Oh, thank you, dear. I'm so glad you got that. Bless you.
Thank John, you so much. You didn't make me feel much better.
Thank you, honey. John, you wait there for a second. I'll pick you up on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience. 17,000 current students. Pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. That is setonhome.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
In a deferential nod to Sister Liguori, my First Communion sister, I'm still waiting. 20 years here on this program, still waiting to somehow, in the slightest way, to be instrumental to somebody returning to the faith or converting to the faith. So far, no evidence. But I'm hanging on. John, who is a pa. No. John from Pennsylvania. Hello, John.
How you doing, Father? Why am I calling you Father?
Yeah, I get that all the time. These priests who go through 9 years education, I become a father within, what, 3-4 seconds of a call?
I guess so. But what I was calling about was, without getting too political, trying not to anyhow, with the climate of who we're going to vote for and not vote for, right? I was talking with a worker at a grocery store, right? And I says, well, in the end, I says, you know what? I says, you know what it says on the dollar bill? In God we trust. And he basically said, well, God is kind of like screwed up, I guess, what's going on in the world. And I don't know. It seemed like he was a little disgruntled with God in that regard. And I'm wondering, when I have conversations like that, what do I say? How do I say it? Whatever.
Well, sometimes you got to have a good sound bite. For example, in that situation, I might have been tempted to say, God doesn't force himself on anybody. He lets people act the way they want. He has to pick up the pieces. That's what I would say. Now, I don't think it'll make any difference to that guy, but let me give you a more detailed response. Not necessarily to get into with that guy in the checkout line, but in the future when people come to you, John, and they're all shook up at the way things are and what's going on in the world and what's going on in our society. Somebody said that to me a couple days ago in the office.
They said, I'm just so discouraged about what's happening to our church. And I said, do you know what percentage of the world's Catholics live in the U.S.? She didn't know. Do you know, John?
No, I don't.
6%.
6%.
6%.
Doesn't entirely surprise me.
So the other 94% of the world's Catholics live elsewhere.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to go, oh, man, what's happening in our world is the way it is in the whole world. No, it's some good, some bad. Yeah. But the other big thing is this. I had a theologian named Marcellino D'Ambrosio.
Oh, nice. Is that Italian?
Is that Italian or what? Yeah. I had him on the TV show. And we were talking about this. I said, what do you do with these people who are just miserable and upset because they say the world's gone to hell in a handbasket? And he said, they don't know history. The history of the world has always been ugly and brutal. You live in the 300-400s, you could be conquered. You could be conquered. They'd take away your wife, your kids, your boy, everything. They just took what they wanted. There was no legal system that you could sue these people.
Right.
The world has always been nasty. As a matter of fact, the point he makes, and I think it's a fair one, is that it's better now than it's ever been. For much of the world's history, people lived in poverty and starved. The poverty rate and the starvation rate, is percentage-wise, is as low as it's ever been. Nobody could read. Well, the literacy rates are all-time high. Materially, heavily, people have much more. So if you say, but it's horrible out there. It's just awful, terrible, horrible. Look at what people are doing to each other. Look what's going on. Yeah, because in much of the world's history, you didn't know what was going on 2 miles away. We now know what's going on the other side of the world. That's huge.
Right.
Most of the world's history, Catholics didn't know who the Pope was. They just live their Catholic faith in their own little circle. But the danger in that kind of thinking, John, is that, oh my gosh, how can it get any worse? Well, it's always been ugly, probably uglier than it is now. When the apostles started out, there wasn't any Christianity at all.
Yeah. Well, he didn't so much say, you know, it's worse than ever. He was just saying, well, you know, God's kind of screwed up.
God's kind of laying down on the job, huh?
Yeah.
I would look at a guy like that and I would say, what do you expect? Do you expect God to force people to act a certain way? Because that's not how he does it.
Well, with all this suffering going on, you think he'd do something about it?
How do you know he isn't? How do you know there wouldn't be more if God didn't have mercy? All you're doing with a guy like that, it sounds like he's just, my guess would be, he doesn't really want much to do with God anyway, so that's his rationale.
Yeah.
This God's not a very nice guy, so you're asking me to believe in somebody that's that mean? I mean, that's his rationale. He doesn't really want to hear any logic or reason back, but you can throw down a seat.
Maybe that's why he wasn't even bothering to try to reason
yeah,
then.
Pretty much. But a soundbite's good. Soundbite's real good. I like soundbites. I practice them. God doesn't force himself on anybody, and
God
if you know world history, it's always been this way. So
right.
Then you're just saying there must not be a God. Then hope you're right, for you anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We'll say. All right, my friend. Hey, thank you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, John.
Not a problem. I got a lot of stuff I could talk to you about another day, another time.
Call again. Yeah, call again. Love to hear it. Gilbert is okay. He's from Oklahoma. Gilbert is, I got about 30, 40 seconds. He's also okay. He knew he was getting too close in. He says, a conflict going on between his fiance and his mom. There is conflict over the wedding. Get out. No way. That is the first time I have ever heard a mother-in-law and a future daughter-in-law butt heads over wedding plans. Wow. I wish I could have talked to Gilbert because I really would want to explore that one. That's just completely new to me. I asked Father John Ricardo one time. How come in these wedding situations, the conflict is more often between mother, mother-in-law, daughter, daughter-in-law? Why isn't it between father and son, father-in-law, son-in-law? What's the ratio? 10-1? And Father John Ricardo, without breaking a smile, looked at me and said, 100-1. Now, why that is, we can talk about at a future time. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I appreciate it. Love to see you in St. Louis on Living Right with Dr. Ray in the audience. Thanks, Andrew Kruczek, Eric Dumont, Andy WTN, and Ave Maria Radio. Walk with God, always.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.